Are you interested in bringing communities together? Are you interested in bridging cultural and communication gaps? Are you interested in podcasting? We want to help build a better world through better understanding of one another. And we want to amplify your voice in the conversation. So bring your ideas and voice to the Venn Network. We will help you bring your voice to the world.
Two Iraqis came here to this country, were radicalized.
For that terror attack overseas.
Total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
First of all, right? Yep, women and pancakes. Now, if we can get them to the kitchen to make the pancakes, we'll be good. My wife from across the room. Whoa.
I think I need to come onto this show and tell you anything.
He wants to know if you'd like to come over and host tonight, if that's the topic. How are you, brother?
Alhamdulillah. Kind of exhausted.
Yeah, well, I mean, you literally just ran across the mosque. I...
Yeah, that was one part of it. And second of all, there's just so much. I'm preparing a khutbah on domestic violence and the women's status in Islam, something that I've done 5 years ago, but I'm going to rehash it and kind of add to it.
Inshallah. Yeah, update it a little bit.
Alhamdulillah. How's everything on your side?
Alhamdulillah, just busy and tired. I'm tired. I don't know why I'm so tired.
I think it's the weather. It's a change and stuff. So
I'm ready for winter.
Well, yeah, you know, think twice before you wish for.
Oh, no. I know. Wallahi, the first time, or the second or third time I took Gada to New Hampshire, where I'm from, mm-hmm. it was, what was it? Negative five, and she almost started crying.
Oh, yeah, no, that's cold. That is really cold.
But that's how I grew up. That's what I'm used to.
Exactly.
So when it gets into the 80s, I'm like, oh, global warming, we're all dying. That's why you'll never see me in Texas.
Texas, yeah, it gets cold here too. It doesn't get into negative, but it gets to 20s.
That's good weather. That's comfortable. That's blue jeans and t-shirt weather right there.
Alhamdulillah. Beautiful. I'm going to put this on Facebook Live, inshallah, so we're with us. Venn Network. Alhamdulillah. Bismillah.
You ready?
Funny, we're going to go for this one, inshallah.
Inshallah. Let's do it.
Let's do this. Alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum, ladies and gentlemen. Assalamu alaikum, boys and girls. It is Tuesday night. It is 8:30 on the East Coast. And I think it's 7:30 in Texas. That must mean that it is time for the most educational, entertaining, infotaining podcast that records live on Facebook on Tuesday nights in previous stated time slot. It is time for Raw Islam with the hardest working imam that I know, Imam Azhar.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace and blessings to our listeners across the world here on Facebook Live. We come to you tonight from two different time zones, so I think everyone's starting to get used to that. And the reason of our slight delay is because of prayers coming in between, but alhamdulillah, we praise Allah and we thank everyone for their time and for their connection to the Venn Network and to Raw Islam with Imam Azhar and Carl. And tonight we have topics that we want to discuss. We thank everyone for engaging with us on Twitter and on Facebook and allowing us to understand what are the topics that you feel are necessary for us to discuss here in our 30-minute segment on a weekly basis. Carl? Tell us, how's the poll?
I was going to say, are you throwing that back to me now? I don't understand. Okay, cool. That works.
What's the poll like? You started a poll, so I want you to kind of update our listeners right now as to what this poll is about and how frequently we're going to be seeing it, inshallah.
So, inshallah, we are going to be posting this weekly, and it will be done on Mondays. And this week we ran the poll Monday afternoon, and I'm actually just tweeting out the Facebook link, so if anybody wants to join us here, they can. So, because as Imam Azhar said, we want to hear from you guys. You guys, I mean, you guys are the heart of the show. You guys are why we're here. This, you know, we're here for you, and we want to make sure that you're entertained by what we're doing and that you're educated, and we give you, you know, what you want to hear about. So, Monday, we ran a poll, and we had more votes than I thought we would the first time around, which is really awesome. So thank you to everybody. Thank you for the retweets. Thank you for the likes. It was really awesome getting all this. And we had four options. The first one was, should or can Muslim votes vote? Should or can Muslims vote? The respect of women in Islam, which is a topic driven by the Kavanaugh hearings. What is the 13th Amendment, which is driven by Kanye West saying that the 13th Amendment should be abolished? And I actually saw a video of him today that got tweeted out where he said there is currently a conspiracy theory as to whether Abraham Lincoln was African-American or white. So that happened. And our fourth topic that we could talk about was, which is better, pancakes or waffles? Now, our two winning topics are the primary topic is the respect of women in Islam, which, as I said, was driven by the Kavanaugh hearings. And our second winning topic was, which is better, pancakes or waffles? And I know even in our own conversations, we had a little civil disagreement as to which is better, pancakes or waffles. And I will tell you that I don't want anybody to judge until they go get King Arthur's gluten-free waffle mix and they make waffles with it. Total life changer. Total game changer, better than any waffles you've ever had. So I'll leave it at that, and I will toss it back to the man of the hour or half hour.
Well, thank you, Carl, for enlightening us on this very important procedure that we're going to follow for this season, where, again, Inshallah, we're taking our engagement with the listeners up a notch, and we want to hear from you. That being said, there is a correlation between the topic of the half hour and pancakes and waffles, and I'll try to connect the two close to the end of the show. Just to give you an understanding, differences, and realistically, Carl was inclined towards waffles, and I myself, from my childhood, am inclined towards pancakes. As Carl articulated, it was a civil disagreement and difference that we both had. But the question is, taking it back to the topic, how has it become that in our world, in our society today, women as a topic, women have become a topic, a subject, a matter that people feel they can deliberate, discuss, they can decide upon without any level of boundaries surrounding the discussion. So what I'm trying to say is, in the absence of those boundaries, there is total disregard, total demonization, character assassination, discrediting a woman who is a human being only because we feel in doing so, it upholds the value of the male-dominated society, in that men's superiority, which ultimately says in a hidden fashion that humans mean male and women are possibly not humans. And I want us to understand this, because when you look into history, and Carl, correct me if I'm wrong, we are in Domestic Violence Awareness Month, correct?
I actually will have to Google that because...
Go ahead and check that while you're checking that.
Well, I was going to say because I know it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, but let me...
It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
But let me Google that and I'll be right back. First,
but again, highlighting how critical of an issue it has become that in light of the Kavanaugh hearings that we all, you know, the world was glued onto it. People on planes were literally watching it. There were pictures of almost every seat on the plane. People were glued onto the Kavanaugh hearings, hearing Dr. Ford's testimony, hearing Kavanaugh's response, which, again, I think was a very problematic factor, his demeanor that he presented, that highlighted that he as an individual isn't worthy for a seat, which is a permanent seat on the Supreme Court, where you have a tendency to go off on the edge or go off onto the wild side because you can't control your emotions. But today I'm not here to demonize Kavanaugh. I'm not here to sympathize with Dr. Ford. I'm here to discuss the underlying problem that's been festering in our societies, which has plagued the culture of the East and the West, which has plagued all religions across the spectrum. No religion, no people can say with assurity and with total confidence that we as a people, as followers of whatever book or whatever doctrine or whatever religion, are immune from such practices within our faith and people. The faith never advocated this, but in actual reality, it is the people's, again, I'm going to use the word bastardization of the religion, that has allowed this to become staple of the religion. Now, tonight we want to talk about women and Islam and what Islam says about women. And I think it's imperative, especially for those out there who are Muslims and who are listening, that they're continuously being targeted. And to some degree, because of the false perception created about Islam, the targeting is warranted to some extent, because we haven't done enough to counter that perception that was created. Okay, so you guys abuse women, you beat your women, and you make them subordinates in the sense that you can, as a male figure, dominate them because your Quran says so. These are two major topics I want to cover tonight as I cover this in my What is Sharia presentation across the country, which alhamdulillah thus far we've done close to a dozen of them in various universities and churches and in a mixed gathering of different faiths and different ideologies. But the point tonight is, let us start from here in America. America is a nation that is known for upholding rights. America is a nation globally known and renowned for setting forth a standard of civility, integrity, human respect, allowing people to reach their utmost potential so that their heights and their success may rub off on the nation and on the people of the nation. And this would be a source of pride for us all and an example for those around the world. It's not a hidden fact that the world continues to admire America for all that we have been able to accomplish in the many years of our existence as a people collectively. But as that is tested, and that is being tested, one of the pitfalls, if not the imminent fall of our nation as a whole, is not only how we treat minorities or how we treat refugees or how we treat the other, but also, more importantly to me, is how we treat our women folk. Now, why women folk? Because regardless if you're a minority, regardless if you're a certain ethnicity, regardless if you are from the Black community, regardless if you're from the Muslim community, regardless if you're from the rich or the poor, whatever class, whatever way you want to break it down, the problem is that the fact is that in all these categories, there are women also. Hence, the women issue dominates all this and it supersedes in reality. And that's why I feel it's essential to address it. The way Dr. Ford had to be presented, the way she had to be grilled by an all-male minus one or two panel, the way she had to be questioned was as if a woman by default has no say. A woman by default has no right to speak. A woman by default has no credibility until or unless we can get enough evidence that proves beyond a speck of doubt that 11 o'clock in the morning on a clear sky day, yes, we can say the sun is out. But before that, we need everything and anything that we can hash to prove that a woman's voice is credible. She is an educated woman. She is a mother. She is a wife. She is someone who's gone through so much pain. She's gone through so much pain. And the fact that we're questioning such idiotic questions, like, why didn't she come forth? Why didn't she speak about it before? I want to ask anyone out there, and many of us who are listening tonight have been victim of some type of abuse, molestation, abuse, domestic violence, rape, sexual harassment. The statistics show it. 1 in 4 used to be the statistics in 2005. And I think now we're looking at 1 in 3 women will be targeted or sexually harassed. The number continues to grow smaller and the margin continues to grow greater. That it's like a 50-50 chance right now that out of 1 in 2 women or 1 in 3 women, one for sure has faced this. And it's not just women, men also have. But I'm asking all the audience and anyone who listens to this podcast later, why didn't you come forward? And it's a very simple thing. Come forward to whom, with what, and how, and what will happen then? And by resurfacing the matter, you're opening wounds that started to somewhat heal, but they showed the visibility of their presence even beyond the incident itself. It is so easy to ask these crazy questions because we want to say indirectly, look, all due respect, you're a lunatic. We don't believe in what you're saying. Good for you, but we're going to move on what we're doing. So fellow Americans and our listeners across the world, it is time that we confront this mentality, this dominating perception that women have no right, because this isn't a Muslim thing. And I'm going to address the two things in Islam. One is the dominating qiwam, as the Quran says, al-rijalu qawwamun ala nisa, the men are dominant over the women. And the other one where the Quran says, fadribuhunna, beat them. I'm going to address those two. But before I do that, I want to give back to Carl. All that I just said thus far, Carl, tell me, do you agree that we as a society and a nation are facing a very big problem that if we don't address, everything else will fall? And that is why we have stripped women from their right of being a human and given that right over to the male folk.
So the first thing I want to do before we get too far in is that I am monitoring the Facebook comments, and unfortunately, I want to thank whoever is commenting right now, but I can't read Arabic, so I don't know what you're saying. Yeah, and there's another one. I see you commenting, but I don't read Arabic, so I'm not sure what you're saying, but thank you for commenting, and thank you for joining us. I think I'm going to respond to your question by telling you a little story that happened last night. So there was a tweet last night that I saw that said, and it was just a general question. It said, what would you do if there was a 9 p.m. curfew for men in the United States? And there were a lot of females that responded with a lot of things, but this one female responded and she said, I would go out on the town and I would walk around and I would enjoy, you know, what's outside at night. And for me, my immediate reaction was, oh, wow, a 9 p.m. curfew. Does that mean I have to be in my house at 9 p.m.? That's awesome. I can be in bed by 9:30. Life is great. I'm down for this. But of course, the other side to that was I felt really bad that this woman felt that she doesn't feel safe going downtown by herself and walking around in her neighborhood at 9 p.m. at night. And that's not right. And we need to fix that. We need to fix that attitude. But what got me was the replies. Mm-hmm. The replies to my comment was what killed me. There were these men that were, oh, what are we in 1940s Germany? Why would all men have to be inside by 9 o'clock? We're not. Dude. I was being kind of funny because, you know, a 9 p.m. curfew would be great because I'd have to be in bed and I can finally sleep because I'm tired. But why are you so angry about this? This woman doesn't feel safe walking down the street in her neighborhood at 9 p.m. at night. That's a problem. And we need to fix that. And so far, everything that I've seen, and I feel horrible for Dr. Ford. Nobody, no human should be treated that way. Mm-hmm. And it's, what is wrong with us? How did we get here? And for me, and I see, this is where it gets kind of sketch for me, because I'm a white male. Mm-hmm. So I don't get this, I don't have the space to speak on this a lot. But for me, I want to fix this. This isn't right. No woman should be presumed. I mean, it's in the headlines tonight that Trump tweeted that.
Yeah, it's a bad time for males.
Yeah, bad time for males. Right. Mm. No, we just shouldn't be behaving that way. My mama raised me better. Mm-hmm. And I'm just, how did we get here? Why is this okay? And these guys in the Congress and the Senate, as much as I joke about being an old guy, they're older than me. Mm-hmm. So they know better. Why are they behaving like this?
They're supposed to know better, I think is the word to say. Anyone in their straight mind, and let's not talk about politics here. Let's be real. Anyone who can treat women in this manner, it doesn't matter, it's your race, your culture, your people, your friends, or someone else, it's imperative that we speak up to this, because we were raised at a time where anyone in our close proximity could call out our nonsense and our parents wouldn't say a thing. They say, son, boy, have some respect. Don't speak like that. Pick that up from the floor. And your mom and dad would say, yes, listen to what they're saying. Because society was built when we held each other accountable to uphold that which we profess to be our belief system or a moral guide or whatever you want to call it. If there's anyone in their sane mind, after we see and read tweets of such nature, that it's a hard time for male folk in America. And when asked about women, he said, women are just fine. When a reporter was questioned, I think yesterday or today, he selected a reporter to ask a question, and he stated that she thought I wouldn't pick her. And she doesn't know what to say. And she's like, no, President. He's like, she said, no, I know what I was going to say. And he said, you don't think at all. You can't think at all. And she said, excuse me? And he just moved his face. If that was your mom, that was your sister, if that was your wife, if that was your daughter, and you're going to turn a blind eye, shame on you. If you're going to say, let it be, shame on you. Those from the Muslim community that see violence of such nature, I call it violence because it leads to greater things. Of such nature, and they turn a blind eye. You see this wrong being perpetrated, even to your own family, and you turn a blind eye, you are not a human being. You're not a Muslim. I'm sorry. Send any fatwa on me, I don't care. You're not a Muslim. You're not a Muslim when Allah says in the Quran, stand up for justice, even if it's against yourself, your parents, your close relatives. If they are rich or poor, God is greater than them all. The God that told you to stand for justice, that justice supersedes, it precedes all other categories, even yourself. Now, for the Muslim community, and I'll be speaking about it, inshallah, God willing, this Friday on the pulpit of the mosque. When it comes to the two verses that people have used culturally, and just keep in mind, I'm just addressing the Muslim aspect because we identify the issue in society and we believe that as Muslims, we need to fix ourselves first so that we can demonstrate, not articulate, we can demonstrate what the right course of action is. There are two verses of the Quran, two out of 6,000 plus verses, out of tens of thousands of traditions of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, where it states that الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ, that men are dominant over the women. Now, قِوَام doesn't have the meaning of dominance. It means a sense of responsibility. And to break that down very simply, because I don't have to go into deliberation of the text and the language, I could tell you very straightforward. قِوَام means that as a husband and a wife, they both collaborate, cooperate, contribute their ideas and thoughts in regards to any matter. But whatever decision is made, if it is in regards to what the wife thought or if it's in regards to what the husband thought, whatever the outcome is, whatever the repercussions is, that responsibility has to be borne by the husband. So qiwa means you're responsible in a marriage, men folk, that if anything goes wrong, it's your fault and you need to take responsibility and you to fix it. This is how Allah has showed us marriage. He showed us that marriage is such where the responsibility, the overall responsibility, the accountability aspect of responsibility is on the men, but that doesn't diminish, decrease or dissolve a woman's voice, her credibility, her contribution, and her equalness in the marriage when it comes to making this work. So this is one point. The second point is the Quran says, فَضْرِبُوهُنَّ, you beat them. This was a topic that it kind of boggled me since childhood when I was reading these texts and going through the commentary in the Quran. But when you take this, remember one thing, if the Quran has a command, then the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, lived it out once in his life. But we see from the traditions of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he never beat his wives. He never beat his family. Matter of fact, he stated, he gave us a bar. He made this a bar for us. He said that the best of you is the best to their family, and I'm the best to my family. And when he set the bar, he said, if you want to represent goodness, it comes from your actions, and your actions begin from your home. And I have a flawless life of action where I did what I did with my family, and I set the standard high, meaning you need to aspire for that, and you need to achieve that. So since he says he was the best to his family, and he tells us the best of you are those who are best to your family, and he never beat his wife. So what does فَضْرِبُوهُنَّ mean? Beat them. The word darb has over 40 plus meanings. And again, in my Sharia course, I break it all down for people. And I explain how the same word in the Quran is used for presenting an example, putting forth a parable, smiting the necks of an enemy. Again, another topic, because we put it into context. The same word is used for different meanings. And over here, it does not mean beat. It means to chastise. It means to articulate with your voice your displeasure on a matter. For what? That she never got you Starbucks coffee or the food wasn't warm enough? No, because when she does something which is contrary to the command of God, which can disrupt or dismantle the family structure, you have to, as the Quran says, stop talking, separate your bed from her, and then also just chastise her. Look, this is wrong. I'm not going to stand for this. But once she comes around to understand it, because remember, accountability is on the husband. Once she comes around to understanding how detrimental this is to the relationship itself, then the Quran says, do not exceed in any type of harm. Meaning, if she comes around, we drop the subject, we drop the topic, and we move forward. The Quran didn't say to beat. It is not there. It is something culturally that's been pulled and it has been twisted. And I ask anyone who believes that in whatever capacity, as some say, take a cloth and just hit her, or take a stick, a small little stick and hit her like a toothpick. If the Prophet did that, if the Prophet did it, then you're right. But if the prophet didn't do it, and he set the standard and the bar that treating your family is the way I treated my family, then that word doesn't mean beating. It means chastise and to let them know without verbal abuse, without cursing, without derogatory words. I'm not going to accept this. This is wrong. I'm going to take the responsibility for this. And I want you to know that we cannot do this in this home for this family, for our future generation. So in short, before I hand it back to Carl, we kind of wrap up with pancakes and waffles. Our nation and our world, from India to America, from the different countries in Africa to the places in Asia, all places in Asia, we have a global problem where domestic violence is continuing to plague our societies, which is mentally scarring the children that they would never want to get married, be it a girl or a boy, because they don't want to be a victim or a perpetrator of such. So the Kavanaugh hearings prove to us what the dominating culture is within our society. And if you're okay with that, go to sleep tonight and continue to watch the deterioration of our nation. But if you, as anyone, have an iota of respect for your mom, your wife, your sister, your daughter, you better stand up and speak. No one's saying to go and do anything violent. Speak that this type of behavior is unacceptable. And as we in the 80s and early 90s held each other accountable to uphold goodness in our society, we're going to do the same thing right now. And it's not about politics. It's not about getting another Supreme Court judge. Remove that from your mind. If not, then sadly, tomorrow, my daughter, your daughter, is going to be treated like that, if not worse.
Before I switch the camera back and before I take it back over, for the people that are downloading the audio version of this, would you like to translate our chat room for us?
That discussion. Oh, he was saying, Saddam, how are you doing? And he's saying, thank you for everything you're doing. So just a quick translation of the few sentences that one of our listeners sent to us.
Well, I don't think I can do that on the mobile, but because I tried clicking on it, but alhamdulillah, you got it. Alhamdulillah, we know what was said. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome, sir. Welcome to all our viewers here this evening. So, you know, I've said this multiple times over and over again here on this show in the 64 episodes that we've done. 64 is tonight. And yes, by the way, October is National Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And I had to learn the hard way. You got to make sure you get that word aware in there, because otherwise it's Domestic Violence Month. No. I've said this before over and over and over again. Both my grandfathers, both of them, my mom's dad and my dad's dad, the language that is being used by people that we're supposed to revere, the actions that are taking place by these people that we're supposed to revere, that are supposed to be our leaders, that are supposed to be the forefront of our country, that are representing us literally on the national stage and being laughed at as a footnote, but we can talk about that at another time. Mm-hmm. It's not okay. That none of this is okay. And I don't know how we got here, but I want to echo what you were just saying, which is, if you go to sleep tonight with a clean heart and you think, okay, great, this is good, I'm comfortable with the direction society's going, you're the problem. Mm-hmm. And I don't want you anywhere near anything that I do ever. Mm-hmm. Because especially I don't want you around me. I don't want you around my son, because I don't want you to influence him in thinking that's okay. I don't want you around my daughters. I don't want you around my wife. I don't want you around. Mm-hmm. If you're comfortable with all of this, you're the problem.
Amen. I would echo the same statement. The only way I would be open to having anyone of that mindset around is if they are willing to explore outside the dominating mindset that has plagued their way of thinking and their way of actions. If they're not and they're adamant to do what they're doing, then as the Quran says, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينُ, you got your way, I got my way. And I'm going to stick to my guns because I feel that giving respect, honoring people, giving them their voice, allowing them to speak, allowing them to share their pain, and allowing the world to believe in what they're going through, especially when the evidence collaborates on his calendar with her testimony. You got to be kidding me if you don't understand that. In closing, our fellow listeners, I want to say one thing. I'll hand it back to Carl. Sorry. Pancakes and waffles. I grew up as... I used to love pancakes, and I still do.
Waffles?
I used to eat waffles once in a while, but those frozen Aunt Jemimas, if they don't take care of themselves in the freezer and they get frostburned, it got a very crazy taste to it. But it doesn't mean that just because you love pancakes, you have to hate waffles. And just because you love waffles, you have to hate pancakes. Our society has become the either-or society. If I love Democrats, I have to hate Republicans. And if I love Republicans, I need to hate Democrats. We forgot that they're all Americans. We are all Americans. We are all working for the same thing. We could have our differences, but hate doesn't have to be the opposite end of love. It can be, I may disagree, but respect doesn't go. Because if it's at the same stick where one side is love and the other side is hate, the stick itself is respect. That because I may hate something or dislike something, I don't like using the word hate. If you dislike something, it still calls for that respect to be upheld. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, even with those that hated him, he never lost his moral compass and disrespected them because of their hatred that they harbored towards himself. So we got a lot to reflect on tonight, Carl. And again, I'm sticking to my Canadian grade A dark maple syrup. You stick to your Hampton Beach waffle maker with your Arthur Richard gluten-free flour. But I still respect you as a brother.
And I respect you as a brother too. And look at this, look at this. We found common ground in our difference. Because if it's not pure grade A dark amber, real stuff. None of this Aunt Jemima garbage. And I don't even want it in my house. Grade A dark amber. That is the only maple syrup that there is to be used. And you know what? SubhanAllah, ladies and gentlemen. We started this episode tonight talking about the rights of women in Islam and the Brett Kavanaugh hearings. And Imam Azhar said, I'm going to show you the correlation between those two items. And I was a little bit scared, but subhanAllah, he did it. And mashallah, his point was amazing. So I want to say thank you for that. And I want to say thank you to the people that commented and thank you for the people that tuned in this evening. If you have somebody that you think would enjoy this episode or you think it's a cool episode, hit that share button. If you have a comment to make, leave it down below in the comments. I monitor them all week. If you have something you want to say, but you don't want it, you don't want it out there because you don't want to comment on Facebook, the email address is right here. And you can go ahead and send us an email and we'll read it and we'll address your questions. So until next week, make sure you follow us on Twitter at Venn Network. Because we will be posting next week's poll for the next topic for next Tuesday. And make sure you head over to vennetwork.org where you can find the entire back catalog and find some links to get some cool Venn Network swag to help support the network and the hosts and other shows. So until next week, ladies and gentlemen, we will say Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
This has been a production of the Venn Network.